Death is a part of life. I don't know how many times I have said that. I've said it in funerals. I've said it to families facing the death of a loved one. I've even said it to my own children after the death of their great-grandparents, or even our beloved family dog a few years ago. Death is a part of all of our lives. Now, this is not a morbid claim that life is futile. It's simply the awareness that death is a part of each of our stories. No one can escape it. The gift of life is in the form of a fragile mortal body. And there are also times of death that are more metaphorical. The times of darkness and pain in life. When, although we are still breathing and blood is still flowing, we feel dead. But in both our literal and metaphorical deaths, in this season of Easter, we affirm that death does not have the last word. This story from Acts isn't much of a story. If we weren't paying attention as we read, we might miss it. It's a story of a woman named Tabitha. In Greek, her name would be Dorcas. We don't know much about her. She's never mentioned before and never mentioned after. All we know is that she is a disciple of Jesus who was devoted to good works. Some presume that she was a widow because of the group of widows that mourn and grieve her death. So perhaps she belonged to a community of widows. She lives in Joppa. You know, sometimes when we read the Bible, we read these names of places and they sound so strange that they might as well be made up and mythical, like Narnia or Wakanda or the land called Hanalei. However, Joppa is a real place. It still exists today. It was a town that was swallowed up by Tel Aviv. It's still a section of Tel Aviv, this place that we hear and read about almost daily in the news. And it says that she becomes ill and dies. It doesn't say that she is about to die or that she's asleep. She's dead. The end. But the other disciples know that Peter is in a nearby town, so they send for him. And he comes without haste. And when he gets there, the widows are weeping and showing Peter all the clothing and items that Tabitha made. So Peter goes into the room where they have laid her body, and he asks everyone to leave. And once he is alone with the body, he kneels down and prays. And then he says, "Tabitha, get up." That's it. Nothing special. Tabitha, get up. I mean, to me, those words harken back to Mark's gospel, where Jesus was performing a miracle of raising a young girl from the dead, and Jesus takes her by the hand and says, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, get up." I think the writer is doing a little wordplay here. But this time it's Peter. And instead of Talitha, it's Tabitha. Get up. I wonder what the get up was like. What did it sound like? Did he say it with conviction, as if it was a command? Did he say it matter of fact, as if it was no big deal? Was it more of a whisper with a tone that almost begged her? "Tabitha, get up." However he said it, she did just that. She opened her eyes and sat up. He takes her by the hand and he leads her out of the room to show everyone that she's alive again. And people all around town began to talk about this, and some become believers in Christ because of it. Obviously, this is a story worth telling. It's a story of resurrection. And more significantly, a story of resurrection not done by Jesus, but by a mere mortal, Peter. So it's a story worth telling and including in our sacred text. But what makes Tabitha's story or life so significant in the first place? I mean, especially in a Bible that doesn't mention a lot of women, she's mentioned by name. Why is she so important? It says she was a disciple devoted to good works and charity, but certainly she wasn't the only one. Why is her life worthy of resurrection and not others? Was it simply because Peter was nearby and it was a matter of convenience? Or was there something different? I mean, there's no way to know the answers to these questions. But it seems that Tabitha's ordinariness is a reflection that resurrection is a part of everyone's life. Just as death is a part of life, resurrection is also. Tabitha's story of resurrection lives in all our stories. Maybe not the literal resurrection through the reanimation of our bodies, but every time life comes back to the dead places of our lives, it's resurrection. Every time light overcomes darkness, it's resurrection. When all hope is lost and God still finds a way, that is resurrection. There is resurrection all around and all through us. Tabitha's story is it's the same story of the woman who always put her husband's career first. Instead of the work she wanted to do, she just found work to help pay the bills. But the hardest work was raising her kids practically alone. She put up with her husband's long hours of work and almost constant travel. But when he fessed up to the affair, she'd had enough. She asked him to leave and settled into the role of victim. Her justified anger eventually transformed into bitterness. Her kids got the brunt of her anger. Her friends began to avoid her. Her life was becoming lonelier and darker. She would say feeling dead inside would be better than all the pain she feels. Till one day, she woke up and was lying in bed, mentally scrolling through all the hurt and all the people who've left her. And she heard a voice. She wasn't sure if the voice was from inside her or from outside. The voice said, "Get up." The voice was stern and commanding, but at the same time, it was convincing. And so she did. She literally got up out of bed, and something about getting up was freeing to her. She felt herself letting go of something or some things. Soon she enrolled in school, she finished her degree, she pursued a career in graphic design like she'd always wanted. And along the way, she decided not to allow her anger to be the cause of more anger for her children. It stops here. And as she came alive again, she realized that of all the people who left her, it was giving up on herself that had hurt the most. Resurrection. Tabitha's story is the story of the man who built and ran a great business. He seemed to have everything anyone would want. He was well respected in the community. He was wealthy and he loved to show it off. But then 2008 hit. And 10 times as quick as he built his company, it was gone. And he went from a 6-figure income to barely paying rent on a small house. He lost it all. The company, the respect, the money. He'd always said that if you weren't growing, you're dying. And so he felt like he was literally dying. In fact, he thought dying would be easier. Until he was sitting next to his attorney, signing his bankruptcy papers. That was his worst fear, and what he always thought would be the end of his life. But after he signed his name and set the pen down, he realized he was still alive. It wasn't the end of his life. It was only the end of his life as he knew it. And there was a voice from within him, but it almost seemed beyond him, calling him, pulling him. Get up. It was like an invitation to something new. And so he did. He gets up and he begins rebuilding, but this time differently. This time, rather than bigger and better, he grows his company deeper with core values like grace and community enrichment. He builds it on the practice that 30% of the company's income should go to something that makes people's lives better and shows God's love. And he knows this business model will never make him rich again. But now he knows he has life again. A life that is richer than he's ever imagined. It's resurrection. Tabitha's story is the same story of the 44-year-old pastor who has a wife and 2 kids, and it seems like he's got everything going for him. But his genetic makeup means his body doesn't produce enough endorphins. And this means depression is always looming at the door. And so while it seems like he's got life all figured out, he constantly battles self-doubt and feelings of inadequacy, worthlessness. A few times in life, those bouts of depression have lingered more than a few days and become weeks and months. Outside of his family, not many people know. He puts on a happy face in public, but often goes home and all he wants to do is crawl in bed and hide from the world. He knows what he should do to fight through this, but sometimes it's easier to do nothing. His family tries very hard to help, but all they can do is ask him to get up. And their words aren't demanding, more like a whisper begging him, get up. And eventually the words sink in and he gets up. And instead of retreating inward, he seeks something beyond himself. Through prayer, he hears God's reassuring voice that he is worthy. And he finds approval from something greater than others or even himself. The dark deadness inside begins to live again with light. It's resurrection. Death is a part of life. And resurrection is a part of life. I sometimes see myself as the peddler of the Christian faith. We peddlers stand up here and we try to sell you on Jesus. We market the gospel in a way that it seems like a product you just want to jump up and go buy. And often sounds like it's nothing more than the latest self-help remedy. If you buy this, all your problems and all the problems of the world will be solved. But we get it backwards. Our Christian faith doesn't begin with our buying in our own power of positive thinking. It begins when we hear that voice. When we listen closely, It's the voice of God. And maybe it comes through the mouth of another person, but it's unmistakably God. And it may be a whisper. It may be matter of fact. It may be a stern command. But the voice always calls the same thing. Get up. This past several weeks, our world has again seen some dark days. Over and over, we continue to witness literal death and destruction through shootings in places of worship and schools. And as these events continue to happen with no change, it feels like there are no signs of life. We begin to think, this is just the way it is. This is a part of life now. What voice will the world hear? Will the gun blast leave our ears ringing where we cannot hear anything but pain and suffering? Will death have the last word? Or will we hear the voice of God come bursting forth louder, calling us to get up? Will we, those who represent Jesus in this world, claim something greater and stronger? That we don't have to live this way. Nothing is worth this kind of life. Will the world hear the voice of God through our voices calling, get up, there is resurrection, live again. Embrace love that is more powerful than any other force in the universe. Yes, death is a part of life. But death will never have the last word. God does. It's resurrection. God's story of love is your story. God's story of light overcoming darkness is your story. God's eternal story of resurrection is your story. Do you hear it? Get up. Amen.